Welcome back to the Deeper Dive podcast, produced locally in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., here at Sacred Heart Roman Catholic Church in La Plata, Maryland. My name is Bill Winnell, as always, joined by Father Larry Swink today. Father, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Monsignor Pope is away and probably happily when he hears what topic we chose to talk about today. But you may have heard there's a solar eclipse next week, and we're going to discuss what does that mean, if anything, and Father's going to miraculously tie it in the Divine Mercy Sunday and the end time. So, Father.
Yes, it's the end of the world coming. And I wanted to address this. I've had several people come to me and, I'm very, I would say, intelligent people but like to sort of like private revelation and, very spectacular events that are happening. But next week on August 8th, which is the Feast of the Annunciation, there is going to be a solar eclipse. But this one is pretty interesting because you can't make this up. It is tracking many towns, cities in the United States of America named Nineveh. And it's a direct line. So, is this a sign of Jonah? Does this mean the Lord's coming back? So first off, let's talk about this eclipse and what you've read about this, Bill. And then we're going to talk about is this really a sign of the end times, or do we have to look at it from a deeper perspective? So go ahead, Bill.
Well, in the interest of reporting, which is what we strive to do here. So my assignment was to delve into the world of YouTube and how it, what's going on next week. I had no idea that the entire world is concerned about this, but so not just the track there's something called the swath of totality, which is kind of, it's an arc that will go across the United States, entering in Texas all the way kind of curving northeast up through, Nova Scotia and, for the total eclipse. So I guess here in DC, for example, we'll see about an 85 to 89% eclipse. We're not in the swath of totality.
Is it going to get really dark?
Not nighttime by any means. Transportation officials are concerned, that during these couple minutes of, especially in that swath, that people need to be forewarned who are not aware of what's going on, that, it's going to get a little darker than normal. But for us, not dark, not by any, and for that matter, even people that who are in the, that path of the total eclipse won't get pitch black by any means. That being said, interestingly enough, so a lot of people are pointing to the sign of Jonah from Matthew's gospel, look to the skies, our Lord says. And interestingly enough, in that swath of totality, there are 11 towns called Nineveh. Who knew the United States had that many Ninevehs? But it's not just that. Of course, there's all kinds of other things surrounding that particular date or later to come in this month. Things such as, they're firing up that Hadron collider again in Switzerland, I guess, the CERN, where they're going to try to, crash two atoms together and find, quote unquote, the God particle, or what's really called dark matter. But so that's going on. There's this sea creature that lives in the ocean that has started washing up all over South Padre Island in Texas, which is where the eclipse will enter into the United States.
And it's Leviathan.
Apparently this thing is called it's the most deadly thing in the ocean. It's called the Blue Dragon. And it's only about as big as maybe your finger, but it's, lethal if you come in contact with it. And yes, if you look at it and squint with one eye closed and stand on your head, it does kind of look like a blue dragon. So there's that. There's, of course, the cicadas that are coming back. And the more interesting one that a lot of the evangelicals have latched onto is this whole thing about the red heifers in Israel. So about 2 years ago, so for those of you who don't know, it's kind of the red heifer involves the building of the third, the temple, that it can't happen until a perfect red heifer is sacrificed by one of the priests of Jerusalem. And basically It has to be a red heifer. It has to be at least 3 years old. It has to be solid red. It can't have one hair of any other color on its body. And they've been trying to raise these and breed these in Israel for a long time and have not been successful until about 2 years ago. And about two years ago, a farmer, evangelical farmer at that, in Texas, successfully did it. And this group that is kind of pushing the building of the third temple in Jerusalem, it purchased a bunch of them and took them over there. And oddly enough, in April of 2024, they turned 3 years old. So apparently this altar's already been built, and this, you know, signifies that the beginning or the preface leading up to the construction starting of the third temple. So there's all this stuff and many more things I'm missing, because of course, if you delve into this on YouTube, that's a rabbit hole. No, I don't recommend anyone goes down. But that being said, a lot of people are concerned.
Huh. Okay. Well, I remember in, what was it, May of 2011, there was this evangelical preacher said it was going to be the end of the world. Remember that? And
the Mayan apocalypse, right?
Right. So so let's look at this from a biblical standpoint and also from the Catholic Church's standpoint. I think it's good to get grounded in, and I think we have done a podcast on this in the past, but it's worth revisiting. So we can understand what exactly has to happen for the end of the world. Now, could this be, let's put it this way, maybe this could be one of the five signs. So let's look at it as not so much like, oh, okay, April 8th is going to be the end of the world. But we could argue that this could be one of the five signs. So let's tie it in with what the church teaches. And then I'd like to tie it in with some of the quotes from St. Faustina's diary. And our Lord, what he says about his second coming.
Yeah, and real quick, I didn't even feel the need to go into the obvious stuff out there, like the war between Israel and
well, but let's try to tie these things together, because sure. I don't think it's a bad thing for people. On one side, when people say things like this, the reaction is, oh, you're nuts. Give me a break. What do you mean it's going to be the end of the world? And then other people get too into it, and they're probably buying food right now, and it could be overreacting to it. But I think there's that fine balance, that medium between two extremes, which is that virtuous means to say, well, could God be saying something through this? Absolutely. So let's look at the five signs, and then we can discuss, is this something to be worried about or not? Number one, the five signs, I re-looked them up and I looked at the scriptures and said, the first is the gospel we preach to the whole world, Matthew 25. And argument could be, well, since COVID, let's think since COVID, with all the, internet broadcasting of the gospel, I mean, this podcast actually started because of, the COVID crisis. And I think that actually even this podcast has gone to many, not just this country, but all over. But think about all the different podcasts in the world combined where they've spread quickly. Okay, number two, the great apostasy, Matthew 24. Our Lord says at the end of time, there will be many false teachings and false religions that people will follow. I would say arguably 100%. Right now, we look at the statistics of how many people actually go to church, Catholic church, that is, where we know this, that the truth subsists in the Catholic Church. We have the whole truth. People have gone to other lesser forms of Christianity, or have gone to complete apostasy, which means they rejected God 100%. We would call them nuns, right? N-O-N-E-S. It's a very common thing. How many people in D.C. alone, if I were to walk around the streets, would say they don't really believe in any sort of religion per se? They'll say they're spiritual, but not religious. A great many. So my argument, Bill, and I don't know if you agree, is that, yeah, there has been a great apostasy.
Yeah, I mean, let's just post-COVID alone in our own, you know, our own church, our own parishes, our own local diocese, for sure.
People just thought, no, there's no practice. I don't know if they necessarily have apostatized, but, well, maybe they have. Maybe they just don't care anymore.
I think in many cases, I don't know, you know, in many cases, this is one that I think many people just, they found something else to do, you know? I'm not saying they don't, if you asked them and, you know, the question was, do you still identify as Catholic? I would think many would say yes, but certainly, you know, they're not present with us on Sundays anymore, for sure.
Right. So I say we're 2 for 2 so far. Number three, this one I think is very dubious at best. There is going to be the universal conversion of the Jews to Christ. And St. Thomas Aquinas, and this is also echoed, St. Paul mentions this, it also is mentioned in the Gospel, says that the Jews will become Catholic, like huge numbers, like the whole nation will convert. Now, I would say this, I actually came across, you have to be careful with YouTube, obviously, but if you type this in, there's some very interesting YouTube videos about large numbers of Jewish people from the Holy Land that are converting to Catholicism. And remember, it's not just, I believe in Jesus and I've been saved, you know, go to some Pentecostal church. This is like going to the Catholic Church. And I would say, yeah, this could be happening, but I don't think it's at a number that we could say 100% that this has happened. But let's say this, and Ratzinger, you know, who was our Pope Benedict XVI, said this has not happened, but that was years ago. So I would say number three, not really. It hasn't happened yet. We still have to work on that. Number four, the revelation of the Antichrist. Well, you have to be careful what you say on the internet about this. Are there Antichrist? Yes. Are there political figures that are Catholic that are leading many astray? Absolutely. Are there religious leaders leading people astray? Absolutely. 2 Thessalonians calls, this person the Antichrist. And John 17:12, John calls him the son of perdition. What do we know about this guy? He's a political / religious leader. I think from what I understand, looking at studies on this, it will be someone within the church, that will lead many astray. The person will be fully human, but possessed fully by the devil. Well, this is a bad dude, but very charismatic. And do you know how many years, Bill, this will happen prior to the end of the world?
Lay it on me.
3.5 years.
No, I'm just kidding.
3.5 years before the end of the world, he will be manifested. The whole thing the preparation will be 7 years, but this will be the Antichrist will be totally revealed 3.5 years before the end of the world. I'm not convinced that there has been someone that powerful and let's say seductive and influential at this point. I don't see it. Some people might argue that, because I think one of the things about the Antichrist is that not only will he, and I'm pretty sure it's a he, will maybe they'll not identify as a he. That's better. They will influence a lot of people. And I haven't seen someone who's like just totally influenced people in that regard. And finally, there'll be the tribulation, which will be natural and man-made disasters. And in Matthew 24:9, it says they will be delivered up to tribulation. So those are the five things. Now, how do we put this thing into perspective? Is an eclipse and a natural disaster? It could be. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think unlike many other, this isn't a meteorological event. So this isn't, you know, there's not earthquake, no tsunami, to my knowledge, or, you know, an eclipse, even a total eclipse, doesn't cause any natural disasters. But of course, there's been natural disasters surrounding it. There was a huge earthquake in Taiwan. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Allow me to do so. You know, huge earthquake in Taiwan last week. You know, a couple floods in other parts of the country and things like that. But an eclipse in and of itself is a celestial event, so to speak, not a, you know, natural disaster.
We could just call it a sign. Now, going back to what was said about the eclipse, the thing that got me the most was how it lined up with the cities called Nineveh. Now, can you go through that slowly? And then what are people saying in terms of the sign of Jonah? You know, because remember, you know, but let's go back to that.
So there's been three total eclipses in the United States since 2017. Obviously, these are local events. This is not, you know, countrywide. But all three, of course, you know, three of anything makes a triangle, and that makes intersecting lines and things like that. So one of the lines was around Houston, Texas, which everyone has said, everyone associated promoting these ideas. You know, Houston, Texas was a site last year of a major hurricane. There's another intersection in Oregon, and the other one is in, I think it's Little Egypt, Illinois, of all places. Which actually this time, that particular city is in the direct line of this total eclipse. There are 11 towns named Nineveh, or at least some derivation of. I think one of them has an A-H instead of E-H, but, you know, 11 in total. And a couple of them, most of them, I think 9 of the 11 are in the United States. The other two are in Canada, I think, Nova Scotia. Or in the Canadian Maritimes. But yes, never happened before and can't make it up. I actually just for the hell of it, I looked it up on, and there are indeed 11 cities named Nineveh in that, you know, this is not someone just saying that. I actually looked it up, and it is, oddly enough. So, and many are people are saying, you know, okay, so let's looking at what our Lord, you know, did say. And from Matthew's gospel, he says, you know, the sign of Jonah, and you know, basically in the stars, look up.
Okay, well this is a good point to kind of look at Divine Mercy Sunday and some of the quotes from the diary. Now remember, this is private revelation, folks. You don't have to believe this. It has been approved by the Catholic Church as true. So it is an approved apparition of our Lord to Saint Faustina. And if you look at the diary, the normal print is St. Faustina's thoughts and words, and the bold print usually in the diary are the words of Jesus Christ. I always like to just go to the bold print and read that, especially in prayer, because it's like what he's saying to her revelations, private revelations to her about, most specifically about the importance of mercy and how we have to take it seriously, but it really does tie in with the end times. So I typed in quotes of our Lord Jesus Christ about the end times, and I have like something like 15 quotes here that came from the diary. So let's look at some of them and maybe tie it in with this, make sense of this this eclipse, and maybe look at it in a healthy spiritual standpoint. Okay, number one, diary, number 848, it says, "My daughter, speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After will come the day of judgment. There is still time. Let them have recourse to the fount of my mercy. Let them come to receive the blood and water which gushed forth from them." Okay, so the first thing is that he says there's still time, but he's urging mankind to come to his mercy. Number 429, you'll prepare the world for my final coming. So he tells Saint Faustina with her message that she is preparing the world for his second coming. So the message of mercy, it seems to be very paramount and important. And I would say, And then write this at 11:46. Write, before I come as the just judge, I must open wide the door of my mercy. Again, here's one that's interesting. 965, talking of Faustina. Secretary of my mercy, write, tell souls about this great mercy of God, because the day of my justice is near. So our Lord is saying that he is actually coming sooner than you think. And then we have 1160, I am prolonging the time of mercy for the sake of sinners. It basically says, I'm holding off, you know, because I'm waiting for the time. Last but not least. You only write to proclaim mercy, beg for the grace that they will glorify my mercy. And, you know, last thing, you know, she also says, you know, prepare the world for the second coming. So it seems like from these writings of Saint Faustina, which are the words of Christ, that he is warning us of the last times. And it seems that this second coming is probably sooner than we think. Okay, let's stop there. What do you think, Bill?
Well, yeah, so this is from the 20th century. Here's my whole thing with, you know, trying to figure out when and all that is, I think everyone who's ever lived has considered it that they were living in the end times, right? I mean, I think if you polled the people right after Christ, they were convinced, I think, that he was going to be coming back way soon. Certainly through the, you know, you can point to, well, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah, point to all the rise of Rome, you know, wickedness. I think everyone was convinced, well, if not now, then when, you know?
Right. Okay. Well, then I guess the question is, how do we approach this with a very Catholic and I would say, virtuous approach. My point would be this, and I don't want to disregard people that are worried about this, but I would say this, with the eclipse, who really cares? What I mean by that is this, if we're in the state of grace, who cares? I mean, in other words, I think a lot of people get worked up about the second coming, and it's almost like, you know, we'll get your candles out. I remember that whole thing with the 3 days of darkness, get your grapes out. Like there was this whole thing about if you bless grapes that you could eat one a day, it will fulfill you. Get your candles ready, beeswax candles, you know. Could that happen? I don't know. And I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I think the thing is, a lot of people get so caught up in the frenzy of the second coming as a frightful event, which indeed I think it is. I don't think it's the second coming is like, oh, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a very powerful, glorious thing, because it says the Lord will come in glory with all the angels. So it will be a powerful event, I think, for those that are not prepared, who don't have their candles, so to speak. And let's use candles from the biblical standpoint. Having your candles lit means to be in the state of grace, of sanctifying grace, if you look at the gospel. So maybe people are misinterpreted. They think, well, I have to have literal beeswax candles. I don't think that's what the Lord is asking of us. I don't think the Lord is going to say, oh, well, I'll take care of you because of these beeswax candles. No, the thing is, are your candles lit? Are you in the state of grace? Are you, have you received God's mercy? Do you confess your sins? Do you seek God's grace and mercy, which is his cleansing that we are been celebrating for all these, celebrating these last days and ultimately this Sunday with Divine Mercy Sunday? Do we take advantage of confession and do we pray and do we have our robes on and that? I think it's one of those things where, I don't know, I think sit back and maybe one thing everyone can do, like our Lord says, is by Divine Mercy Sunday, go to confession and see what happens Monday.
Wait a minute, so are you saying that my tobacco and leather candle might work after all then? It doesn't have to be beeswax?
I don't know. I don't really... Those types of things, are secondary to what people should be worried about. I mean, if everyone was smart, let's just say, I mean, like for me, I
wait a minute, hold on. If you were smart, it sounds like you would take two chairs out to the curb on East Capitol Street, right in front of Holy Redeemer, and make a sign that says maybe like End of the World Confessions on Sunday night. You may get some business.
You know, that's interesting. But that's kind of
come on. There's a pizza that pizza place across the street. You get some great traffic through there.
You know, that would be interesting. I think that's actually, you know, a lot of times we could take advantage of this and use it. I think if people are scared and go to confession, then this is a good thing. Let's put it that way. If this scares them into being very forthright with our Lord about their sinfulness, asking for his love and mercy, then I'm all about this. I think it's great. I think these types of things what's needed more than anything in our world today is a wake-up call. And I'm just wondering could this be just a wake-up call? But here's the problem. Only those that are actually doing the right thing really care about this.
Right. But the bigger problem is you're more likely to get hit crossing the street to have your confession heard than you are to die on April 8th.
Wait, say that again?
I said the real problem is you started to say the real problem is you're more likely to get hit by a car crossing the street to have your confession heard than you are from on April 8th, let's say, from the solar eclipse. But that's the interesting thing. Things like this do shake people. And I guess, you know, if it brings people something good out of it, you know, it's maybe going to confession first time in 25 years, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
But the silliness, of course, is you're more likely to die of a stroke or get hit by a car or virtually any other thing on a daily basis than you are something tied to these, one day events.
Right. But I also think here's the other side of me is like this is that, okay. I think, there's a part of me that says like, okay, if these private revelation things are true, I think it's better to be safe than sorry also.
Of course.
Like another, like I think there's a part with, can you imagine how much of an idiot you'd feel like if you weren't taking some kind of directives? But I don't see anyone in the Catholic Church telling people to get beeswax candles, you know, from a high up point of view. We could do a whole podcast about the 3 days of darkness and whether and where did that come from and so forth. I mean, that could possibly happen. I mean, there's actually a lot of the things that you talked about that are happening around the world are the same things that happened during the 10 plagues. And the 10 plagues lead to the exodus of God's people, exodus from Pharaoh, which is a real person, but also a symbol of Satan and sin, into the new world, which is, you know, through the desert of repentance, and then ultimately Jerusalem, you know, the promised land. So in essence, like these types of things, I think are good for the church. And I would you know, I don't know if necessarily we should preach them from the pulpit, because, but you could. I think you could tie it in. It's like some of you probably heard about this eclipse. All right, but then you could tie it into, all right, well, folks, how would we look at that from in a sober way, in a way that's helpful for our particular salvation and the salvation of others, is, are we ready for the second coming, period? You know, if that day were to come, we'll be ready. And at every Mass, we pray for the second coming of God. And every time we pray the Our Father, we actually pray Thy kingdom come, which the Catechism does say we want Jesus to come again to judge the living and the dead. That's something we should long for. And I think some people, I mean, and justifiably so, and I think they're really trying hard to do the right thing, but find life to be an incredible struggle. I think there is a desire that it would happen.
I think you should have an eclipse confession outside. Yeah, that's what you should do. Take your two chairs out there, and you know, during the, when everyone's looking up, you can, you know,
on Monday, do this on Monday.
Absolutely. What do you?
You know, I might take you up, and what would I put on the sign?
Oh, we could come up with something clever for sure. Call it, yeah, we'll come up with something. But you know, it all joking aside, I mean, is it, you know, things, is it wrong to take advantage of this?
I wouldn't manipulate people with it. I think that's wrong. I think if you sit there and
just
say,
another opportunity, that's all.
I think it's an opportunity. I think it's, I think it would be wrong to say, hey, you know, this is going to happen. You better.
Because
I don't know.
It does shake people up a little bit, just like the old bumper sticker or whatever, you know, that as long as there's turbulence on airplanes, there'll always be prayer.
Right.
Atheists pray during turbulence.
Right. Right. And I think, yeah, we can look at it as turbulence. I think an eclipse is turbulence. I have a priest friend. He's flying to Texas to go see it in Texas. Pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
And he planned it 6 months ago. So,
man, what happens if it's cloudy? Oh,
well, the one of the reasons he went down there, because it's less, there's a less chance. So he said the reason he went to Texas, because there's the chance of being overcast is less. But then he looked at the weather report and he said it was going to be overcast. He's like, ugh.
So you need to go on Amazon today and order a bunch of those, you know, dollar solar eclipse glasses, and you set your little booth up out front with your two chairs. And, you know, you can have, this is an opportunity. Even if it doesn't lead to a bunch of people confession, it's an opportunity to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, all right, folks. Well, hopefully this has helped you a little bit, but is it going to be the end of the world? I don't know, but let's just say this. Just go do yourself a favor. If, I mean, obviously if you're, you know, in a good place spiritually, don't worry. But if you're not, go to your nearby parish, receive the sacrament of reconciliation.
Come on, it's no coincidence that the day before is Divine Mercy Sunday, right?
Well, but then the other thing is, it's also the Feast of the Annunciation has been moved to April 8th, which is bizarre. Because, you know, it would have fallen on Holy Week, right? And so they moved it to the April the 8th, which, you know, is kind of interesting. So I don't know. I think it's there's something. Let's just say this. There's something divine in this. I would agree with that 100%. There's no such thing as coincidence. You can't make up the fact that it's crossing all these towns called Nineveh. Nineveh is a symbol of sin and debauchery and just a need for repentance. So maybe what our Lord is saying is, as he says in Diary 1160, and prolong the time of mercy for the sake of sinners, for those in Nineveh, which is us Americans, because let's take that. I mean, Americans are just, I mean, our country is such a mess. I mean, was it on Holy Saturday? What, President Biden made it the transgender priest. What is it? What was that called?
On Easter Sunday, Transgender Day of Recognition.
On Easter Sunday. I mean, folks, that is embarrassing. That is so embarrassing to the world. I mean, imagine the risen Christ, you know, the way that we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday, the risen Christ, is to celebrate a man becoming a woman. Give me a break. I mean, it's just embarrassing that that's the best that our country, or the leader of our country, can say on Easter Sunday. I mean, could it have said something like, hey, you know, how about something as simple as this? You know, we can have hope because God loves you and he's risen from the dead. You know, hallelujah. I mean, that would have been a beautiful. Like, folks, you know, there is hope for you that your soul can be changed. You can become holy. But no, we're gonna just stick in the cesspool of just complete, just craziness, moral craziness. So I think putting that all together, Easter Sunday, where our country has said this is going to be, we're going to celebrate sin. Following Sunday's Divine Mercy Day and there's an eclipse. Is there a sign happening? Maybe, yeah. I don't think that's out of it's out of the equation. But I think that the bigger thing is maybe God's simply saying, America, wake up and just turn to me for help. You know, it could be that. So anyhow. All right, folks. Well, I am going to consider this divine, April 8th eclipse confession thing. That should be kind of cool. I wonder if that would, I'll have to ask permission from Monsignor Pope because it is on his property, but he probably let me do it. So anyway, get your eclipse glasses. But more importantly, just get yourself right with God and don't worry so much about this, because if you are in the right state of being, right? And I even thought about this. I mean, I honestly thought about this morning, you know, with today's gospel, with Peter going the wrong way. And I was just kind of praying about my own particular life. I was like, you know, I just want to be in the right place before Christ comes. I mean, just period. And so I was like, Lord, you know, help me. I need help. And I think we all should say that, but we shouldn't be afraid if we have received his mercy and we're in the state of grace. It will be a glorious, powerful day. All right. So I'll see you next week. And we will continue with the Sermon on the Mount next week with Monsignor Pope. And we just took a little break because he's on break right now. And just something that's a little bit out there, you know, the eclipse. But you probably have heard about it. And so we're just trying to make sense of it. And just try to get that also that look online about the plenary indulgence that you can receive on Divine Mercy Sunday. Just type that in, plenary indulgence, Divine Mercy Sunday. What are the qualifications to receive that and the requirements, and do so. And then April 8th, sit back and see what happens.